3. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Extreme Passport. Oh, my gosh. I've got one of my very dear friends. We've done some things together in the past. We met in Texas. She's super, super cool. Her name's Nancy Gibbons Addison, and she's here with us today to talk about all the crazy cool things that makes her crazy as she is in everything she does. When it comes to health and nutrition, I mean, she just astounds me with the way that she can just tell me what's right, what's wrong, and what's good for me. So, Nancy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
So, tell me what you've been up to.
Well, I just interviewed Dr. Stephanie Seneff of MIT on my radio show.
Yeah.
And we were discussing all types of things, including cholesterol, sulfur compounds, how this affects your immune system, and just various things that are possible for helping people boost their immune system, stay healthy, and avoid becoming ill.
Right. Now you're pretty good about that. So, like, you know, we were having some discussions, you know, before this podcast, a couple of days before setting it up and that, but you've got this insight on things that can really help keep your immune system up. And, you know, tell us a little bit about that. What should everybody be eating?
You know, what is so important is I believe holistically that, you know, everything we do, we think, and we eat is going to affect us. And I know that presently there is a lot of fear-mongering going on by the mainstream news medias. And I think it's very, very critical and important for everyone to stay positive and to think positively. In fact, my research shows that, you know, a lot of people think, oh, stress is going to kill me, right?
Of course, yeah. Stress is always the biggest killer in the world.
Well, the research actually shows that it's how you think about stress as to how it affects you. So if you have a stressful day, for instance, and you think, oh my goodness, stress is going to kill me, then the studies show that yes, that stress will kill you because that's what you believe, right?
Right.
But studies also show that if you think, oh, this is just part of the journey, we're going to get through this, everything's going to be all right, I just have to weather this storm and everything will be fine, then it affects you totally differently and it won't hurt you.
So that's the secret to living a long life.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Well, our brains are very powerful and our brain and our heart are connected and they tell our body how to react and what to do. And when we are in a stressful mode, what that does is it puts us into a subconscious fight or flight mentality.
Right.
And when we go there, then it quite literally takes our body out of healing mode.
Right.
And puts your immune system on standby alert, and it represses your immune system so that it's not able to function because it's saving all your energy to, you know, escape that tiger that's running after you or some situation. So it's reserving your energy and your power for the emergency, whatever that may be. And if that is just a scenario or a thought or a circumstance, that can be very damaging to you. So some of the things that you can do, and in fact, I just started this right before the show, but I was watching a video by Carolyn Miss this morning, and she has a meditation prayer every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as I was listening to her, I'm thinking, you know, meditation is very, very powerful for healing the body. Sorry. My phone.
They're always busy. We're in a business, right? Can't ever let it go.
There are a lot of studies that show that prayer and meditation are very, very powerful. And how we connect and how we feel actually makes a difference. And it can lift your consciousness. It can lift your immune system. It can quite literally connect people and heal things. They've done different things around the world where they had meditations at the same time with large groups of people, and the crime rate would go way, way down, and different positive things would happen. And so as I'm listening to Carol, I'm thinking, I'm going to join you on Fridays at 3, but during this particular time, why don't we do it every day, all together, everyone, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Connect with yourself. Connect with your heart-based self. Think positive things. Do a meditation. Maybe pray for the planet. Pray for everyone to be filled with love and joy. And then don't just stop there, but when you finish that, put on some positive, uplifting music. Something like The Love Train by the OJs or Good Vibration by the Beach Boys. And quite literally lift yourself out of any kind of low, depressing place that you could have possibly been before. And I'm not saying everyone is there, but I have to admit there are a lot of people that I've come in contact recently with who watch a lot of mainstream TV that is quite literally blasting fear-mongering news at you, which I think should be illegal, actually. But it's apparently not. But they've, you know, they've splattered this, you know, virus thing everywhere. It's, you know, it's written in red. It's written in, you know, it's attached to every email. It's attached to this, or when you open that, it's, I've been traveling. So I'm in a hotel room right now, and this was the best spot for me. So apologize for the background, but.
Oh, no, it's not a problem.
Driving here, even on the highway, there were huge signs plastered over the highway that just fearmonger you and keep it in your mind's eye. And so what I'm saying is, you know, it's mind, body, spirit. Let's take back our spirit. Let's join together. And every day for at least the next 2 weeks, join together and do prayer at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or meditation in whatever way you wish. I mean, you don't have to do a specific one, but just send loving thoughts to the world and play some uplifting music. Lift your vibration and share this commonality with your fellow human beings. And, you know, if nothing else, it will make you feel better. And it is a great way to connect spiritually with everyone. And we are a web of life. We are, and I truly believe this, we are all connected.
Yeah, I mean, I truly understand it. You know, vibrations, whatever vibration you're going to put off is going to be a reaction to the next person that's next to you. But it's sort of like that in chemistry as well. Whatever you put next to that, you know, it's going to end up being that. It's connective. It's good energy or positive energy. If you're in a negative energy arena with like 5-6 people, everybody's negative. Of course, everybody's going to end up being negative. So, you know, I understand that whole vibration part in between what makes you happy, in between meditation, being able to focal point, just to decompress, take that time, the bathtub with the candles, listening to some, you know, really great orchestrated music, or, you know, going to the gym. But a lot of people are cut out of being going to the gym right now because they're closing gyms all over the place. As not to, you know, spread the coronavirus around. But, you know, out of sight of that, I guess singularly, when I look at it, and from a lot of the people I'm, you know, talking to here this week, just alone, it's like, you know, it's time for family. You know, you've got a luxury. Everyone has a luxury right now. I mean, if you're one of the lucky ones that's been taken out of the job, to spend quality time with your family, actually get to see your kids. They're not in school, you're at home, and that is definitely a good time for that. And it's not Christmas, it's not 4th of July, and to really value the appreciativeness of this and look at it in the good light that way. It is very dramatic. It is very sad for a lot of families, a lot of things that are going on right now. But you got to hold on to the positive, definitely. So what you're saying, I agree with that 100%. You know, as far as like the, you know, like I say, like food though, like what would, like for you, you know, what do you got at home? What is it that you stocked yourself to say, okay, I can't go out and I got to stay home and not go out and do so much? What are you cooking at home, or you know, what's going on there?
So some of the things that we can eat that are immune system boosting. A great thing to do is just make sure you have good quality water. And so I always recommend filtering your water and not buying plastic bottled water, which has really not, there's nobody analyzing those to see what quality they are. it could quite literally be tap water put through a sieve, and they can call it filtered. It's really terrible. And then the plastics in the bottles are PPA plastic, and so they are hormone disruptors, and they're really bad for men and boys, especially because it overweighs your testosterone with the synthetic estrogen. So, you know, get a zero water filter or a reverse osmosis or a Berkey or something like that that will remove all the toxic chemicals out of your water. And then you want to add Mind salt to it. So a Mind ocean salt is really mineral rich. And so something like Himalayan salt or Bolivian rose salt, or there's a Redmond brand out of Utah called Real Salt. And these have a lot of minerals in them, like iodine, that's for your thyroid, that are not in present day oceans. And they also don't have the mercury and the toxic plastic that's in present day salt. So you want to get the pink salts or salts with color, because the minerals have color. And if your salt is white, it very well could have been bleached. It could have had the minerals taken out of it. And if it's from a present day ocean, it could have a lot of mercury in it, which is a neurotoxin. So you want to get a Mind salt. You want to add a little bit of that salt to your water, because when you purify water, it removes all the bad things like the chlorine, the fluoride, the glyphosate, things like that. But it also takes out the good things. So you want to add those electrolytes back in, electrolytes being a fancy medical term for the
water. Right. Well, anything is going to make the water taste good. It's like, okay, because water tastes different. I've drank water all over the world, and I agree with you on the plastic bottles that just the PCBs is like, I don't know, in the next few years, I read some statistics, don't hold me to it. But like in our own personal body, there will be plastic particles in our body. And that's the wildest thing in the world. And it's been drinking all these bottled waters. Getting away from those things. I'm a big proponent of not having plastic bottled water, and figuring out other alternatives to being able to do that.
Right. And so we're 66% to 72% water. So this is like a critical component, right? So put the salt in your water, and then you have to stir it. Dr. Pollock, who's brilliant, I think it's the University of Washington, who's done a lot of research on water. If you stir it really fast in a creative vortex, you give the water back its structure. So quality water, I believe, is absolutely paramount to our health. And this is really pretty easy. Zero water filter is only around $40, and it comes with a device where you can measure how many contaminants are in it. So it can tell you when to get a new filter for it. And I think quite a few people can invest in this, and you can save a lot of money not buying water and lugging it home. And just keep a pitcher of water in your kitchen that you can add the salt to and stir, and always have that pitcher of structured electrolyte rich water in your kitchen for everyone to drink. And I really do think that is my number one tip for keeping your body healthy, because disease is quite literally usually a dehydration in the inner cells. And so chronic intercellular dehydration is one of the things that really creates disease. So you want to stay hydrated, and this is the best way to do it, because just because you're drinking liquid does not mean your cells are taking that in as hydration. And so you want to have this structured water. It's like in nature, in a river or in a creek, it has those electrolytes in it. It has that structure. But whenever you put it through a process like a water pipe or a water purifier, that takes the structure out. And so I know it sounds a little esoteric, but this is an interesting world we live in, and there's a lot more to our reality that, you know, we may not see. But this structured water is something I feel is a critical component. So that's my number one nutrition tip.
That's something that, like, you know, people really don't think about, you know, water and the water intake, what that is. You know, it's got vitamins in it, it's got flavorings in it, and the different things, but it's just actual the chemical makeup and what makes us and being water. But within the minerals and within the salt that we need for the electrolytes for the body to function, right? And actually the engine to fire correctly in between the synapses and the nervous system. A lot of people just don't truly understand how important water is.
Oh, boy, you're right on it and perfect. Yeah, and without those minerals, which really aren't in the bottled water, and if they're those electrolyte waters, I have to admit, I think some of those are synthetic and overpriced, and I think they're, you know, taking advantage of people, and I have to admit, I don't trust them. And this is an easier way to be in control of your quality. And those minerals in this salt, I know so many people worry about salt and tell me they don't have it, but these herbicides that they put on our food worldwide, one in particular is a mineral chelator. And so it destroys all the minerals in the soil, and all the minerals in the food is not there because the food is what's in the soil and the air and the water. And if there's no minerals in that, it is not in your food.
And right. It doesn't come from the fibers. It comes from the minerals. That's what keeps the body running. Once again, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, having the water in a battery. A battery does not work without water inside the casing.
Yes, yes. And so these minerals are critical for your DNA to function. It's critical for your enzymes to be able to function. And so our bodies are like little symphonies, and these minerals are absolutely critical. So if you're worried about having this salt with, you know, maybe you think you have high blood pressure, well, I will tell you, if you're eating the right kind of salt, you do not have high blood pressure. You will have high blood pressure from eating white refined salt that is just strictly sodium that has had high fructose corn syrup added to it and preservatives added to it. And your body quite literally reads out like a poison. But a mineral rich complete salt that is mined, that has all the magnesium and manganese and iodine and iron and all the other, you know, like,
I mean, even nickel and silver. I mean, we can go on, you know, the whole chemical chart that's out there that makes up everything in atoms and from the nucleus to it. I mean, it all flows in the same way. The ocean being the biggest representative of what it is, where we actually come from to begin with. But when you look at the dynamics of just the ocean and the energy and everything that flows through it, the body is the same way. It's made up of a living, whether or not it's a dolphin or, you know, whether or not it's a plant life. We all have cellular structure. And as you said, it has to be hydrated. If you don't have hydration, you're going to have it where it falls apart and it's going to start to brown like a banana. That's the closest thing that I could say as a chef. It's like, you look at a banana, it's all yellow when you get it and it comes home and you put it out there and it's like 3 days later and it's got brown spot starts. Then it starts turning brown. Then it gets browner and browner. Because why? It's dehydrating. It's losing, it's losing the hydration as it sits there and dwindles away. And then it starts to rot. So it makes perfect sense in everything you're saying to me. It could be a scientist come and tell me I'm wrong, but I mean, I just sort of look at it that way.
Well, this is a critical component I live by, and I'm now 65, and I never even think about getting sick. And I quite literally, I don't think I've been to a medical doctor at least 18 years. And I use food and water as my medicine, but I think it really does revolve around quality. And I know you and I really connected on this, but so much out there is low quality food, or it's processed, or it's microwaved, or it's had the nutrition removed from it, either by having it grown with all of these chemicals that destroy the fragile nutrients in the soil, so it's not in the food, and all the chelates, all the minerals. So we want to have quality food. So my second tip would be eat high quality, organic, non-GMO, fresh fruits and vegetables as much as possible. And that way you get more nutrition, you get the vitamin C, you get all of these things that are lacking in the conventionally grown foods. And they'll taste better.
Right. I mean, if it's a weird color and they call it food, you're probably, it's not the best thing in the world for you to do that in a little minimal size. I mean, I know the holidays and Christmas, you got, you know, cookies, icings and that type of different thing. But, you know, within, like we say, with these, you know, Powerade drinks and the different things that are put in there, if it's purple and it's blue and it's red, And it doesn't have the form of a blackberry. It doesn't have the form of a raspberry. It doesn't have the form, you know, a golden raspberry, golden grapes. I think if it doesn't look like one of them, it's truthfully not the same thing. As much as they want to tell you, and you look for all the dietitian aspects of the label on the rear saying, yep, this is good for you. But truthfully, do you really think it's good for you? I'm like, did they need it 1,000 years ago? No. You know, they were eating real food, barley, grains, rice, lard, animal, you know, proteins. That's the way people ate, and we've made it as humanity. So it does scare me as a chef to see a lot of synthetics, especially with my children and that, to see these synthetic foods that look good, they taste good for a minute, but there's no quality in what energy or whatever it does for your own body. And if you were going to have a very expensive car, would you put crappy gas in it? No. Why would you? So you should, I mean, the first thing you should be taken care of is your own self.
That's such a great analogy. I love that. But I mean, that's really truly it. What we eat becomes, or ingest, what it becomes our cells, our tissue, and our blood. How can it not directly
looking for a discount special in a cardboard box, and the food that comes in cardboard boxes, I'm not down on any of it. Some of it's good. I mean, I'm not saying it's like all the time, but the majority is like 85% of the time. You should be eating real food. Now, I mean, it's funny to me because I talk to so many of my friends and they are just void of like, oh, like I'll cook, you know, it's like, wow, how did you do that? I was like, wow. I said, I don't know. How come you don't? I don't get it. It's like, it seems like a natural thing to me, of course, being a chef, but you know, it's easy, but that's why, you know, I'm asking you all these questions so my audience can understand. It's like, yeah, that cooking lesson is probably something I should pay attention to. Yeah. I should pick up that book and look at that and say, you know, and don't be scared. Just try it out. Start cooking at home more often. And I think you're going to be surprised at just how much more you enjoy eating on a whole too. I see so many people go to restaurants and they come out, oh, the food was okay. Or they talk. It's like, whatever. It's like, well, you can do it better. Stay home. Cook it up, man. Do it right. Make it your own. And you're going to enjoy it a lot more. And invite your, you know, friends over after the COVID virus is over with. Yes. But, you know, keeping it clean and everything for your, you know, your friends and your family at home. Hi, everybody. We'll be right back. Got to take a quick break for a commercial. That's what keeps us going. Those wonderful advertisements. It's not too long. We'll be right back. But I've just been a big stickler about that. It's like when I make food, they always ask me, like, how do you make it taste so good? I use quality. I look for the best of whatever it is. If it's a bell pepper, and that bell pepper could have a blemish or a spot on it. Doesn't mean a whole bell pepper is bad. It's just got a little one brown spot. They're like, oh, I've seen people throw vegetables away like that. And I'm like, well, I can make a salsa with that, or I can grill that, or I can put this with that, make a red bell pepper sauce. And I'm going to put it over top of your chicken or with your shrimp. And you're like, wow, I never would have thought about that. How do you do that? Real easy. Just put it in some liquid, boil it for a little bit, add a little bit of salt and pepper, put it in your blender, puree. Done. Touch of olive oil if you like. But that's just, you know, it's just easy. Recipes and cooking food, but people are mystified by it. But the bigger thing that people are mystified, and for me, every time I talk to you, is in the fact of just the nutritional value and the things that you tell me about, you know, healthy eating, because I can't remember it all. I mean, it's a world. You've written a few books. I mean, tell me some of the titles of your book again. I know that I did something for you in one of your books on, you know, raising healthy children, and that was a wonderful book. I shared it with a lot of my friends, especially expecting mothers. I gave them away as a, you know, baby shower gifts. But they're really good.
Thank you. You are so kind to contribute that. You wrote a chapter and added a recipe for my Raising Healthy Children's book, which is all my books are half nutrition and half cookbook. And I think that's a critical component, because even if you understand nutrition and you're not able to make something healthy in your kitchen, then, you know, you're kind of back where you started. So you need to be able to follow through and do that and create the food that is going to support you and your family's health. And people love that recipe, but I have a book, Diabetes in Your Diet, How to Be a Healthy Vegetarian, Lose Weight, Get Healthy, and Never Be on a Diet Again, feeding tube recipe for optimum health. And also I co-authored Alive and Cooking, which is a cookbook and nutrition book for older people and taking care of elderly parents.
You've definitely been busy writing books, that's for sure. But like on the circuit, what are you doing these days out on the circuit? I know we met in Texas. I think we were out with Paula Deen doing a tour at the one of these fabulous promoters, putting us out there doing demos and talking stuff when I met you the first time. I think it was in Dallas. Yeah, we were in Dallas. And, you know, since then, I know you did, you know, written a lot of books on that. You know, tell us, I know you told me you were a chef for Larry Hagman. What was that like? What was it like cooking for a guy like that? I know I've had my sense of cooking for people that are, you know, everybody say, oh, what's it like to cook for them? You know, it's like, you know, what was it like cooking for the wonderful guy and, you know, the man that everybody knew in Dallas is the big JR?
It was such a blessing for my life, and what a great experience. And I, of course, never in a million years thought I would be doing that. And being from Dallas, it's just such a nice surprise. And in fact, it was Linda Gray, who played Sue Ellen, his wife, on the TV show. She found out Larry had cancer, and they had just started filming the second series of the show. It was 2012. And he had just been diagnosed with throat cancer. And so she called me, and we got together and we were talking, and she's like, you've got to help him. You've got to, you know, be his chef. So I had them over for dinner. And so here I am in Dallas out of the blue, and I've got Linda Gray and Larry Hagman sitting at my dining room table.
I've had crazy things happen at shorter notice, trust me.
Yeah, you know, it's surreal, but it's wonderful. And Larry loved my food, and I'll have to admit, when I met him, he had this gray pallor, and I don't know if you've ever seen that in someone, but when people are seriously ill and quite literally look like they're going to die soon, they get this gray pallor, and it's quite scary to look at. But he had that, and he told me, he said, I've been trying to eat vegetarian, but I'm just starving to death, and I just, it's not helping. And he loved my food that I made him that night, and he just cornered me in the kitchen and talked me into being his chef and nutritionist. While he had chosen to do mainstream medical, he wanted to add me to the mix and have me do the nutrition and the food side. So for the next 6 months, I quite literally, he's like, oh, just cook a few things every day and my personal assistant will pick it up. And well, that didn't happen at all. I ended up being in his condo every single day, cooking almost all these meals. His personal assistant could do the breakfast. But I even ended up going and taking his food to the set and helping him there, because on a movie set, they quite frequently will have big food tables that are filled with lots of things that he's...
Yeah, a lot of crudité and snacks or granola bars and plastic bottle waters.
And muffins and cookies and candy. And Larry has a sweet tooth, and he had been an alcoholic. And so this was... a real challenge for him, and he was a huge meat eater, so he loved barbecue and hamburgers and things like that. And I put him on a very, very strict diet of plant-based foods. I did let him have some pasture-raised scrambled eggs in the morning and a few other things like that. But it was all vegan raw food mostly, and super high antioxidants and high quality water. We did that water with him. He was on board with that, and really it was amazing how, you know, every evening he was so charming. He would light all these candles around his place, and he'd put on like Willie Nelson. And they had put them in this building that looked so industrial. And he had gone with his personal assistant and bought a bunch of red saris. And he had strung them up across the pipes in the ceiling and across the cement goals and things. And my daughter was like, Mom, he's turned it into Genie's bottle.
That's so funny. That's the first thing that's coming to my mind. And he's like, yep, I want to go right back there and go back to that time and day. I mean, it must have been the most fun for the both of them and doing it. I mean, I've seen a few excerpts and documentaries and bloopers and stuff like that over the years. But, you know, it must have been really, you know, fascinating for him to do that show. And then to end up, you know, JRU in the most most well-known Dallas man that, you know, who the heck killed him? That's like, you know, right? Who shot JR? It's pretty crazy to have that experience. And, you know, in the dynamics of who he was as a, you know, I guess you'd say a comedic actor, but at the same time, you know, the intensity and the seriousness of Dallas too, and the realness of what they were able to do with the cast of there was pretty intense too. I was a big fan of Dallas. I loved it. I'm not a soap opera watcher, but I was hooked as like the rest of America on Dallas. I thought it was amazing.
Well, it wasn't just America. I mean, he had fans. He had, first week I was working with him, he had a huge group of fans come and see him and Linda from France. And he was constantly getting contacted. They had a huge following in Europe and in Great Britain. But one of the things that we noticed is he really struggled at first to switch over and avoid the sugar. So Linda and I did a clean sweep of the condo and got rid of all the contraband.
So you had to police the area for him because, you know, the boys would be boys. It's like, yeah, I got Snickers head over here. Yeah, I got muffins over here. And you had to make sure you didn't you know, sneak it on you.
Well, those sugars are so addictive, and people don't realize it. But one little bit of sugar can shut down your immune system for 5 hours.
I'm a huge chocolate fan. I mean, chocolate and me is just like, you know, but I like the straight chocolate, not with all the sugar in it. You know, it's like 99% or 95% cacao. It actually like calms me down and makes me just okay. If there's something that's freaking me out, I go to chocolate.
That's really a great point. Because cacao is actually the highest antioxidant food there is, and it works on your serotonin levels and actually will lift your spirits. And it's comes from the cacao bean is actually a purple, dark purple, bitter bean. And the healing power of the bitter vitamin is incredible. It's a B17 vitamin. And the color purple, and it's almost black. That is the most powerful antioxidant. And so it's actually a healing food. It's when
I guess that's why I feel good all the time. I love my chocolate. I'm doing something right. It's like everything else.
It with the sugar that it gets in healthy.
Yeah, you get the sugar in there, but, you know, you put the sugar in there too, and, you know, a little burnt orange or this, that, and the other, cayenne and all the other good shit, and salted caramel too. I love that too. It's like I'm a big fanatic.
You are the master at creating delicious food.
I love it. So, like, you know, what's going on with you now? What are you doing? What are you running around? Linda Gray and you still running around beating up the world? What do you do? What do you do with all your spare time outside of your radio show? I know that you had me on there before.
Well, I wanted to just add one thing for our listeners is that when Larry finally stuck to his program and his diet for the first week, he came back from the doctors with his blood test and just was radiantly happy and said, Nancy, I just got the best blood test I've had in 16 years. And my blood pressure was better than it's been in 16 years. And so I will say, when you do stick to a healthier diet, I don't care who you are or how old you are, the body is an amazing thing, and it loves you, and it can do magnificent things. And I have seen people's health turn around so quickly when they really start eating quality food and cut out the sugar and the additives.
So, like, are you into all these smoothies? You think smoothies are the way to go?
I like
people smoothies. With quick breakfast, like they can't do, like, for me, I wake up, you know, I smell bacon, I smell ham, I smell eggs cooking and that. And I'm just like, yeah, this is good. Biscuits are going in the oven. To me, that's breakfast. But America's changed over the past few years. And now it's like kale and banana and then a bunch of powders that they pour into blenders and just hit high speed, throw it into their, you know, cooler cup, and they're off down the road. Do you believe that that's the way people should be eating? Or, I mean, for me, it's almost like, you know, being the chef that I am, just give me a pill. Okay, that's it. That's all I got to do. And then I go back to eat my chocolate.
Well, I have to admit, I started making smoothies about 33 years ago when I was raising my children. And I found that was really easy to give to little children and get intense nutrition into them easily, because they could just drink it. And I could put all kinds of things in there, like spirulina or green broccoli sprout powder or something like that, and get that intense nutrition into them without them thinking it tastes bad. And so you can mix it with really high quality fruit and high quality nut milks and hemp milk or things like that. And it's also a great way to do add healthy fats to your diet, things like omega-3s. I like cold pressed hemp seed oil. It's high omega-3s, high vitamin E. And
you think there's quality to the CBD? You think that the CBD is a big proponent for health coming forward? Do you think it's really going to take off?
Well, I think it has a lot of good qualities to it that can support your health. And I believe that one of the reasons it was illegal for so long is it had so much competition from the pharmaceutical companies, who are so powerful that, I think it was initially made illegal because Rockefeller owned a lot of forests and he didn't want the competition from the hemp, which has got a lot of fiber.
Yeah, I've heard that story too.
But also the pharmaceutical companies can make, you know, their particular type of version of that and sell it for $2,000 a pill or something. And it's very difficult for them to make money off of us being able to grow it for free. So I think
That's like aspirin. It comes from a bark of a tree. So it's like, you know, in the natural sense of it, but then, okay, now there's a synthetic and the ibuprofen version of it from what it is that was, you know, whether it's healthy, whether it's not. But yeah, there's a lot of wars over all of this stuff. Over the years trying to keep the other one down. But, you know, CBD seems to be really making a huge, great appearance on a stage of healthy eating across the board. But in between THC and everything being legalized around the world now, the healthy attributes to it for me, I've seen, you know, young children that weren't able to walk and they're eating it now and they're able to walk now. I don't know which particular diseases, like it's MS or whatever, but I'm seeing miraculous things done with the treatments in between the understanding of THC and CBD.
Right. Well, and there's so much regulation on those particular types of crops that I think most all of it's organic. So it's going to have high quality nutrition in it. And so hemp is a super wonderful type of protein for people who are eating plant-based. It has high vitamin E. It has high omega-3s. And so it's a complete complex amino acid. And there are so many benefits to it, you know, other than just, you know, helping children not have seizures anymore. And I think part of that is the omega-3s that are also a part of that, but the cannabinoids in it are also very important. So I do support legalizing it and using it as a food and as a topical oil as well. And yeah, I think it should never have been illegal, really.
What's your thoughts about coconuts?
Follow the money.
right. Follow the money trail. Yeah. What's your thoughts on coconuts? What's the benefits of coconut? Coconut oil, coconut butter, is it good or bad for you? I've been using it for quite a few years now because it's sort of like my favorite medium to cook with, because it really doesn't affect the flavor of food. And it's just smooth. It's good for everything, you know, for your hair, for everything across the board. But as far as eating large amounts of coconut butter and oils, what do you think about that?
I do it all the time.
I know there's like palm oils in that are not good for you, that, you know, can be bad. I know there was red palm oil for a while people were trying to, you know, do. And I see people with like 3/4 of a gallon of it still, and they have it and they quit never using it. And then if it spills, it just destroys everything because it stains everything in the house. I've been on a couple different cooking scenarios where they have it and I've spilt it, but the red palm oil, is there good pluses or bad pluses to red palm oil?
Well, I think there's always depending on the quality and the way it's grown, I think that has a lot to do with it. And also a lot of these growers in places around the world, they tend to cut down rainforests and things to grow things like palm oil. And so, you know, it was environmentally destructive. But I do believe that coconuts that are grown sustainably in an organic way are one of the wonderful plants on the planet, very similar to hemp, that it has so many incredibly good healing properties to it. You want to make sure you're not getting a trans fat, though. Back when I was growing up, they'd say, oh, don't use coconut oil because it's bad for you. It has cholesterol. It's saturated fat. What they did all this test after they actually made it, we'd lost our coconuts during World War II. And so they started making margarine and trans fat. To put in the food, to put in the food they were making, because so they started canning food and they were making rations and things like that. Well, after the war, they didn't want to lose their money, so they decided they would do this test and try all the oils and tell everybody how it was going to come out. And so they tested all these oils and they came back and they said, "Don't do coconut oil. It's horrible. It did the worst in our test."
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Why was it held back again? I mean, this is something that's good, and it's like all of a sudden now it's like great again.
Well, they left out the fact, and this is a big fact they left out. They left out the fact that they used a trans fat coconut oil in their test. And a trans fat in any fat is horrible for your health. Yeah. And so they basically lied, because I think leaving out facts is a lie.
Of course.
And they, you know, brainwashed everybody with this wrong information. But really, coconut oil handles heat better.
And, of course. And that's why I love to cook with it.
Energy, it supports your brain health. And it quite literally is one of those unique foods like hemp that doesn't have enzyme inhibitors in it like so many. So it's a coconut. And it's a hemp seed, and seeds and nuts and plant-based foods usually have enzyme inhibitors in them that have to be sprouted in order for you to digest the nutrition, in order for your body to be able to utilize the nutrition properly. Coconuts and hemp seeds are both unique in that they do not have enzyme inhibitors in them. They do not have to be sprouted, and they are readily available nutrition for you. In fact, I think coconut oil is one of the best things you can give, you know, children or even elderly people who need energy, because it really just gives you immediate energy, more sustainable than coffee. Because, you know, coffee, you have a dip and then you get this depression and it's dehydrating. But with coconut oil, it will give you sustainable energy for a long period of time with no downside. And right. It has ketones in it. So Alzheimer's is a big problem. And Alzheimer's is like diabetes of the brain. Right. And where your brain's not able to access the energy in the bloodstream. Well, the coconut oil has ketones in it that allows your brain to access this glucose in the bloodstream without using insulin. So it will, you know, really promote a better functioning brain when you eat it. So lots of pluses to that. And I'm so happy to hear that you use it all the time, because I do too.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best thing in the world. I mean, it's great for your hair. It's great for as a moisturizer. I mean, it's like me and coconut butter have a great relationship. It's always good to have coconut butter around. The, you know, always ask all my guests is like, if I was going to cook something for you, what's your favorite go-to food? What is it? What's a big bad thing? Tell me that it's a bunch of raw carrots and some alfalfa sprouts and some hemp seed, and you're having lunch. Tell me, if I was going to make you something, what would it be? Or what's one of your favorite dishes that you make, and you know, so that we can dine that up?
I love broccoli and hollandaise sauce.
Oh yeah, so see, you are bad with the hollandaise sauce. One of the most criminal sauces in the world, as far as everything goes, but it is the tastiest. I'm a sucker for hollandaise. Anytime I see it, anything it's like creamy, got egg yolks in it, totally in. Bring it to me. So it's just straight up broccoli. So how do you cook a broccoli? You just
slightly. Steam it.
Steam broccoli and hollandaise. Oh, you're pretty simple, huh? I was like, wow, I really had to think about that one. It's like 5 minutes. Okay, I'll be right back. Everybody's having broccoli and hollandaise. And that's an easy gig for cooking dinner. The cool part of everything that you're doing in the future, what do you got? What do you got coming up next? What's the biggest thing?
Well, I mean, I've been traveling a whole lot and speaking internationally and doing a few shows and working on a few books. And I've even talked to you about doing a few projects with you, which I'm very excited about and hopeful that those are going to.
Hopefully so. I'm thinking so too. So like if you tell the world out there what to do out of all the great stuff and nutrition and value of all of the wealth that we threw at them and they're like, what are they talking about? You're going to be able to go to the podcast page and Nancy's information will be there, how to get a hold of her, how to figure out how to get her books, how to figure out more about being healthy and just what it all makes sense. All these words we just used. All these different foods that we just said and how to put them together. She's got recipes. And of course, you know, if she doesn't have one, if you want something different, you know, I'm always around too. You guys can reach out and throw me some comments. But Nancy, tell me one great thing for America.
How we think, how we do anything is how we do everything. So really be conscious of adding that main ingredient of love to everything you do. And compassion and gratitude and, you know, like we were talking about at the beginning, how you think, how you feel is very, very powerful. And so, you know, focus on the positive and add that main ingredient to all your recipes. That main ingredient's always love.
I love it. You're always special at everything you say. You always make me smile when you say it because I always feel like, okay, this was just like the best conversation I've ever had because I just feel like, okay, everything's going to be okay. It's always great talking to you. Everybody, thanks for joining in on this podcast with me and Nancy talking about nutrition, what to do during this time. And as Nancy says, you know, just, you know, love each other, put out good vibes, take care of yourself and eat right and eat healthy. Remember what you're putting in you. Should be better than anything else you put in anything else. I mean, just make sure it's good and it's colorful and it's great. And, you know, just be good to yourself. So for everybody out there, like I said, you know, it's a pleasure always, Nancy. And thank you so much. Thank you for listening to this episode of Extreme Passport.